From the studios of Boise State Public Radio, I'm Gemma Gaudette. This is Idaho Matters. The U.S. Supreme Court could be poised to overturn the landmark 1973 Roe versus Wade case that legalized abortion nationwide. This is according to a draft opinion that was leaked to Politico. Now, a decision to overrule Roe would lead to abortion bans in roughly half the U.S. states, and it could have huge ramifications for this year's elections. Joining us now to talk about this is University of Idaho law professor Shakira Sanders. Shakira, it's always good to have you on the program.
Thank you for having me, as always.
So, Shakira, can we start the conversation with this unprecedented nature of this leaked draft opinion? I mean, this has never happened, and it's shocking.
Yeah, from everything that I've seen, there has not yet been a situation like this where an opinion, a draft opinion, was leaked prior to the final opinion being issued. Oftentimes, people like me in our legal research can get access to draft opinions from older cases, but I've never heard of a situation like this where the final decision hasn't been rendered, and yet the public has been given access to what this court has confirmed is a draft opinion.
So at this point, it is a draft opinion. Things could change. Yet we do have a majority court that is on the more conservative side.
Well, some people would certainly take that position. But I do want to emphasize that this is a draft opinion, which means we don't know if Alito will actually write the majority opinion, who would vote with him, or any of those things. It is also very likely that there were other draft opinions being circulated, but we just didn't get a leak of those draft opinions. Mm.
So let's talk a little bit about what we know about this draft opinion. In it, Justice Samuel Alito writes, quote, Roe was egregiously wrong from the start, unquote. He also goes on to say, quote, we hold that Roe and Casey must be overruled, unquote. And then another quote, it is time to heed the Constitution and return the issue of abortion to the people's elected representatives. So, Shakira, with what he wrote, and it's important to say again, this is a draft opinion. What does he mean about heeding the Constitution and returning this to elected officials?
Well, it's a little bit unclear. Certainly, there has been the position from a number of the members of the public, from politicians, and even members of the U.S. Supreme Court, who have taken the view that the topic of the right to terminate a pregnancy is one that should be determined at the state level, not at the federal constitutional level. So it could be that he's hinting that, you know, this should be a state by state issue. It could be that he envisions something broader, like Congress's ability to regulate in this area. Again, because this is a draft opinion, it is really unclear what the scope of a statement like that would be.
So if this were to go into effect, if the court overrules Roe v. Wade come June or July when they are set to make a decision, what would that mean for states? Because we do know that some states, I believe about 13, have what are called these trigger laws, where there's that's not, you know, the abortion bans would go into effect. Some states have pre-Roe laws that would go into effect. And then some states will continue to allow abortions. So, man, this is like a kind of a mishmash.
Yeah. So, you know, again, because this is a draft opinion, it is really hard to predict what the result will be for states. But in general, we can predict that the court will either upturn Roe versus Wade and all of the cases that come behind it, and therefore we're sort of left in with the status quo. And then the court makes a determination of whether the case before it violates Roe, or we could have the court overturn Roe altogether, say that there is no right to terminate a pregnancy and states can't even grant that right. Or we'll have the court say that there is something to Roe. We just don't think it's as important as prior courts have said. Here are some new parameters to dictate the right to terminate a pregnancy.
Hmm. So then let's look at it more broad from a federal law standpoint, because we know right now that the House has already passed a bill that would codify abortion rights into law. In fact, this morning, President Biden called for its passage in the Senate. It's unlikely, though, to pass. They probably don't have enough votes. So with that said, from a federal standpoint, what could happen?
Well, that's super unclear, right? We've been, it's not like the federal government has never regulated the right to terminate a pregnancy. We've got the Hyde Amendment, right? We've got tons of federal legislation out there. So it depends on, so if the court says that this is an issue for legislatures, then the big question for the federal legislature will be, well, what is its source of power to regulate in this area? Many would look to something like the Commerce Clause, but we've seen there in recent cases where the court has sort of pared back the federal government's scope with regards to regulation in the healthcare arena using the commerce power. Can the federal government expend money or will the federal government be able to use its spending power to regulate the right to terminate a pregnancy? There could be something there to the federal government's power. Until a law is passed, it's very difficult to conceive of either the source of power for that law, but also its own constitutionality.
So it sounds as if, because this is a draft opinion, and that is what this is, and there's not the final determination, I mean, we've gone through in this conversation numerous scenarios. So it seems, Shakira, that we really would have to wait to truly know the impact of Roe v. Wade being overturned or based potentially nothing happening.
Yeah, and I don't mean to be coy for you
no.
or your readers. I also don't want to downplay the effect of this very unprecedented event here, which is the leaking of not just any opinion, but what would be one of the most important U.S. Supreme Court opinions in the past half century, if it does overturn Roe versus Wade. Primarily because this would be one of the rare opinions to actually take back a right once it's been granted. And of course, with all of the discourse surrounding the debate over the right to terminate, whether Roe was decided on proper grounds, right? Were there better grounds to protect this right that now we see the implications of? Who knows, right? What all of that conversation would or could be, because this is a draft opinion. The one thing I will say is that we could see an increase in protests over this issue in the lead up to the final opinion. And this may be why it has taken so long to see the final opinion, considering the arguments happened earlier in this current term. But again, all of that is speculation. We don't know what the result will be until the opinion is issued.
Yeah.
But whatever the result is, it is likely to have a huge effect on the upcoming midterm elections.
Oh, absolutely. Let me reintroduce you if you're just joining us. We're talking with University of Idaho Law Professor Shakira Sanders about the leaked opinion draft from the U.S. Supreme Court in regards to overturning Roe versus Wade. I want to talk a little bit more about something you brought up, and this is the ground that Roe v. Wade was decided on back in 1973, because even the late Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg was concerned that something like this would happen. She said that Roe v. Wade was too sweeping and it was vulnerable to attacks. My understanding, Shakira, is that the way Justice Ginsburg saw it is that Roe v. Wade was focused on the wrong argument. that restricting access to abortion violated a woman's privacy. What she was hoping for instead was a protection of the right to abortion on the basis that restricting it impedes gender equality.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk on that?
Yeah. So the original Roe versus Wade opinion was decided under a doctrine called substantive due process. Due process is contained in both the Fifth and 14th Amendments. The Fifth Amendment, it applies to the federal government. The 14th Amendment applies to state governments. Ginsburg's argument was that the court's decision in a case a few years prior to Roe called Griswold versus Connecticut, which declared a right to privacy at issue in that case was access to contraceptives for marital couples. Ginsburg's argument was that that was the wrong theory, i.e. privacy. The right to terminate a pregnancy really should have been determined on the basis of equal protection with regards to gender discrimination. Now, the equal protection arguments with regards to gender discrimination were Ginsburg's bread and butter at that time. She had just previously argued or written a brief for the Reed versus Reed case, which was a year or two before Roe, the very first case to look at gender under the Equal Protection Clause and to overturn a law. It was an Idaho law at issue there in Reed. Now, in the years after Reed, including during the time that Roe versus Wade was decided, the court hadn't quite figured out what was the standard for gender discrimination cases under the Equal Protection Clause. So to the extent that that wasn't determined, Ginsburg's argument is a little weaker in that what would have been the standard the court used under a gender equal protection type of case. Now, turning your attention to the substantive due process argument and Ginsburg's argument that it was too sweeping, I think that depends on the point of view that you take when you read the original Roe opinion. It begins, and this is something we talk about every year in my class, when the court looks at history and tradition, which is what it uses to determine whether a right exists. The court goes all the way back to ancient Persian times to talk about a right to terminate a pregnancy. The court sort of fast forwards to the English common law, talks about the colonial era. Now, this draft opinion seems to do the same thing, although it skips the ancient Persian part of the conversation. But what I noted from the draft opinion and with the original Roe opinion is when we focus on the U.S. colonial era, we see a very Eurocentric viewpoint. We don't see any conversation about the treatment of enslaved women or the treatment of Native American women. And we know for both categories of women, the right to have control over your reproductive freedom was quite limited. If you were enslaved, even the decision whether to engage in sexual intercourse such that one would become pregnant was solely determined by one's slave owner on some plantations. We also know from our history with regards to Native American women, the type of brutality that they face, but also the removal of their children from their possession. Roe does not get into any of that, nor does this draft opinion. So that's one of the things that I'm curious about when I think about the theoretical foundations of Roe and possibly overturning it. What is the viewpoint or the lens that we're looking at when we walk through our history and tradition over a woman's reproductive freedom, and more importantly, the choice to make her own decisions about whether to pursue a pregnancy or to terminate a pregnancy?
Right, it's body autonomy and how that plays into this.
Yeah, and I think whatever theory, whether you're looking at gender under equal protection or privacy under substantive due process, you're still getting to the issue of bodily autonomy.
Right. Before I let you go, Shakira, how concerned should people be with implications beyond abortion if the court overturns Roe? What I mean by that is that the Supreme Court has granted other rights like same-sex marriage and obtaining birth control pills. Just like Roe, these were not explicitly granted in the Constitution. I mean, so with Roe potentially falling, does that mean that these rights could be challenged and the court could be potentially willing to overturn other precedents? Even though we should note that these three justices that were appointed by the former President Trump, when asked about Roe, said it was a precedent and that it would not potentially be overturned.
Yeah, that's a difficult question, because if Roe is overturned, this is a draft opinion and we don't know the scope of overturning, right? Five members of the court could say, we just don't think it's a super important right. And so we're going to lower the level of scrutiny and give states more authority to regulate after a certain point in time in a potential pregnancy, right? So it is really difficult to predict. But one thing that I'll be looking for in the future is not so much the immediate effects on something like the right to same-sex marriage. That's still mm-hmm. under attack. And so I think it is likely that we'll see movement in other areas of law, like religious freedom, things like that. The right to access to contraceptives predates Roe. And so again, it's a little bit unclear when the court would have a reason to redabble in a subject like condoms, right? Mm-hmm. But to the extent that the court tries to designate the right to terminate a pregnancy as different because it concerns fetal life, then there could be some reflection of that or some attempt to use that type of language when it comes to Second Amendment rights, where there you're potentially talking about the physical injury or killing of another individual who does have constitutional rights because they're living, they're a person. If the court says, well, the taking of a life is special in the abortion context, then I do wonder whether the court would say that in the Second Amendment context. So where an overturning of Roe could reverberate could be very broad in scope, or it could be very narrow in scope. It is impossible to make that determination without seeing a final opinion.
Well, as always, we appreciate your analysis on this. Thank you for educating us more. I think it's really important to understand the potential outcomes of this. So thank you for your time today.
Well, as always, thank you for having me.
Absolutely. We've been talking with University of Idaho law professor Shakira Sanders, talking about the leaked opinion draft from the U.S. Supreme Court in regards to potentially overturning Roe v. Wade. Up next, why Idaho Power wants to build a battery farm.